Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi wahdah wassalatu wassalamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Amma ba'd. Qala Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala fil Qur'an al-Majid wal Furqan al-Hamid: Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba 'alaykumus siyam kama kutiba 'alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Wa qala tabaraka wa ta'ala: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. وكما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم: صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمدللہ رب العالمین. My most beloved ulama ikram, hafaz, elders, brothers and those listening over the receivers, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, sustainer and provider. Peace and salutations be upon our beloved master Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, to talk about any other thing besides what is on our doorsteps, you know, will not be really doing justice, or not really important right for now, although there's so many different topics and there's so many issues that we could discuss. But most certainly, that which is in all of our minds right now is the most important event of the year, or most important period and time of the year, and that which is going to inshallah commence depending on the sighting of the moon, either on Monday or Tuesday. And first Taraweeh Salah will either be on Monday night, according to the estimation, most probably Monday night, but we don't have a guarantee. And most certainly, Tuesday night is going to be the first Taraweeh. So the options are either Monday or Tuesday night being the first Taraweeh. So first Ramadan is going to be either on Tuesday or Wednesday. So inshallah, the focus of my discussion today will obviously focus a lot on about the month of Ramadan. And there's so many different aspects that we can speak about, and alhamdulillah, the ulama may have been already talking about it in the past few weeks. And during the month of Ramadan also, the discussion will continue. But I think the most apt is to use the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is also found in a beautiful book that we hope inshallah we are taking out some time to do ta'lim in our homes, where Hazrat Shaykh rahimahullah has written Fadail Ramadan, the virtues of Ramadan, a simplified, easy way to create a mahal and an atmosphere in our homes. And weeks before the month of Ramadan, we ought to have started. If we haven't, then we hope inshallah that you will commence. Hazrat Shaykh Rahimullah has written Fadail al-Ramadan, then Fadail al-Quran. But in Fadail al-Ramadan, he has mentioned this beautiful hadith. And I will perhaps focus a lot on that particular hadith and also some other hadith that he has mentioned in his particular kitab. So the narrator of that hadith is Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. So he says, Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed us, khatabana, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed us, fi akhiri shawwal, towards the ending of Shaban, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed us. And now we are towards the ending of Shaban, so as I said, that particular hadith will fit very nicely at the current Jummah platform that we have right now. So Rasulullah ﷺ addressed the Sahaba towards the ending of Shaban, and he said to them, قَدْ أَظَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ عَظِيمٌ مُبَارَكٌ. He says, and he used two words, a very azim, very great, and number two, used the word mubarak and blessed. Azim and mubarak, a very great and blessed month has dawned upon you. It's very soon going to come upon you. And these two words are important to remember as well. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah Ta'ala speaks about him in the Quran, he says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. To describe the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says, O Rasulullah, you have azim, you have sublime, you have a very great and good character in you. So the same word when to address this month, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, قَدْ أَظَلَّكُمْ شَهْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. A very great and an important month has come upon you. So it's not something just by the way for us to take it like, okay, it's one of another occasion. It's a very significant month that is dawning upon us, a very important occasion. And it's so important that we have to sort of put all our other works aside and to think, what is this important month that is coming? And other word he uses, Mubarak. Mubarak is translated as blessed. And we all want barakah. We say, make barakah in my life. We want barakah in every aspect of my children. We want barakah in your business. So this month is been described with these two words in this particular hadith. Shahrun azimun, a very great month. And number two, a very blessed month. Now the rest of the hadith perhaps will unpack why did Rasulullah ﷺ refer to this month as very great and Mubarak. And perhaps that will serve as a reminder for us that what we should be making effort and planning to achieve in this particular month. So the Prophet ﷺ started off by saying, first, in this month, there are about 10 different things. So I'm going to try all of it is in this particular hadith. So he says the first thing, فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. It is called a great and blessed month because, number one, in it you are going to find a night which is better than 1,000 months. لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ, as we recite in Surah Qadr. There is a night which is better than 1,000 months. So here usually the ulama, they go into a discussion about when that is, but let's for our purposes say that is in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Inshallah in the future Jummas, there'll be more light shed on that particular night. But suffice for us for this point is that we should now make effort and prepare for this month because ibadat on that night is going to be more, is reward more than 80 years of ibadah. So we now need to prepare for that. Laylatul Qadr is going to come. It's going to be in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, one of the odd nights, inshallah, we need to prepare for them. So that's reason number one. Number two, he's saying, Siyamuhu Faridatan. Ja'alallahu fihi Siyamuhu Faridatan. That in this particular month, from Monday, if the moon is sighted, then Tuesday, we're all going to wake up for Sehri. And we're going to abstain from eating and drinking and relationships with our spouses. From Sehri time till Iftar. And we call that fasting. Fasting is basically abstaining from eating and drinking. And how we understand it. And relationships, that's a requirement. But we have to keep reminding ourselves that it is a pillar of our deen. From amongst the five pillars of our deen, we know it's Iman, then it's Salah, fasting, Hajj, Zakah. So fasting is one of the pillars of our deen. And it's an obligation. Alhamdulillah, most of us sitting here, perhaps we know about it, and perhaps we will be fasting. May Allah make it easy for us to fast, it's hot, and the situation, but alhamdulillah, we have all our comforts around us. We have food, we have masjids, we have air conditioning, and we have cars, and everything, alhamdulillah, is doing well, as compared to many of our other brothers and sisters in other parts of the world. The challenges, and the environment, how they have to fast, we must make lots of shukr. And have no excuse actually to complain. But the rule is that it is fun for every baligh, male and female, to be fasting. So as I said, many of us sitting here, we are aware of this. But we have to also remind, we'll be shocked, but there are many of our brothers and sisters in our neighboring localities, in our circles, in our communities, who don't understand the necessity and the obligation of fasting. So use that opportunity also of engaging with the people that in our circles to remind them that fasting is an obligation. It is fard to fast. We're not going to go into the masail, but those who are excused, man kana maridan, aw ala safarin, somebody who is sick, somebody is on a journey, they are excused, fa'iddatum min ayamin ukhar, they will fast another day. But usually the rule is that we should be fasting and make that intention. We're going to keep all our fast. It's an obligation. So first, second reason. The third reason is saying, قِيَامُ لَيْلَتِهِ تَطَوُّعًا, that there is a special salah that we're going to engage in this month of Ramadan. Every day we're reading salah five times a day. But in Ramadan, if the moon is sighted from Monday night, it's going to start the salah which is known as a Taraweeh salah. And these are 20 rakats of Taraweeh salah that we have to perform from the beginning till the end. I'm stressing on this because some of us, maybe we're making khatam of Quran. So you say, right, I'm making my khatam and we finished after 10 days. Maybe some places after 3 and 5 days. And we think the rest of the month is chutti. There's two different sunnahs. One is the sunnah of time to make, of khatam of the Quran. And that we can finish after 3 days is left to you, after 5 days, 10 days, or 29 days. But the khatam of the Quran, to perform it and to make it in the Taraweeh Salah is one sunnah. But the 20 rakats is also another sunnah. So even if you have made khatam of the Quran, the Taraweeh Salah still has to continue. And these are 20 rakats every night, from the first night till the last night. Now again, I'm emphasizing on this because alhamdulillah, first night of Ramadan, masjid, 10 stuffs, 15 stuffs, alhamdulillah, be full. And then second night, maybe it drops down to 12 stuffs. And then for some reason or other, there's like a, if you draw a graph, now it went high, and then there's a low in the middle, and then all of a sudden, closer to Eid, or maybe towards ending, it goes up again. I'm not sure, we have husnul zan on the people, but there has to be a consistency. When we started the first day of Ramadan with 20 rakats, and also these 20 rakats of Salatul Taraweeh are not to be performed in the car park, and you know, scaffolding in the car park, and the Taraweeh is taking place. This Taraweeh Salah has to be in the masjid behind the imam. And unfortunately, we have, there's this culture, and sometimes in some of the masjids, this atmosphere has created people go and they sit in the back. So the Taraweeh has commenced. Imam has started Allahu Akbar. Some people are sitting and the imam is reading 2 pages or 3 pages, right? And what happens is he's sitting. Sometimes we even go to the back, relaxing on the wall, and we get engaged in conversation at times. Then the imam says, Allahu Akbar, to go into ruku. Then this man is jumping up to go into ruku. And it became like a culture. And even worse than that, that's already bad. Some people read 2 rakats, 3 rakats, or after 8 rakats, it's chutti, then they go outside. No problem talking to their friends, and as I said, smoking and drinking, whatever, and talking and all of those things. Not drinking alcohol, drinking coke, and maybe whatever. But they have compromised their whole Taraweeh Salah. So we have to come out of this culture and make it a point. That's why I'm emphasizing. Taraweeh Salah is 20 rakats from the first of Ramadan and every day of Ramadan till the moon of Eid is sighted. Only when the moon of Eid is sighted, right, then you get chutti from Taraweeh. So let's make it a point of ourselves and the environment that we have influence on. Now we have children or maybe somebody else, or you know somebody that's a acquaintance or a friend or somebody. The Taraweeh Salah, a little bit of patience, but think about it. The Taraweeh Salah that we're reading and this fast, it only spoke about 3 of the aspects in this hadith. The Prophet spoke about one was Laylatul Qadr. And inshallah, the ulama will talk about that later. But the fasting and the Taraweeh Salah, we have to remind ourselves about the objective of that. Why are we fasting and abstaining from eating and drinking? Is it just to stay hungry? No. Rubba sa'imin laysa lahu min siyami illa al-jur. The Prophet warned us. You see, many people, they'll be fasting, but the only outcome of the fast was hunger. You just stayed hungry. That's all. You never achieved. So that means we have to think, what is the objective? Why am I fasting? What is the exercise that I'm going through for 30 days or 29 days? And I'm waking up at 4:30 in the morning, which I usually don't do. And I'm only going to eat next time at 6:30 in the evening, every day for 30 days, just to stay hungry. What's the purpose behind it? So remind ourselves, try and read, what is the objective? What is Allah saying in the Quran? Why am I fasting? There's a lot of details, but I think for reflection for today, because of limitation of time, one of the main exercises of this is to train our spiritual souls and to suppress our nafs and to submit to the command of Allah. That's why you are fasting. Now it's hot. 35 degrees, 33 degrees is hot. Next week also is going to be very hot. You're going to be fasting. And now when you go to your office or you're at home and there's nice ice cold coke there on the table or ice cold water there. Nobody is there. Wife is not there. Children are not there. Nobody is there. You're alone. What stops you from taking that water and drinking it? You can take it and take a couple of sips. Nobody saw you. And you can come iftar time nicely, sit on the dasturkhan, a muazzin give azan, you put the kajur, you had your samosas and halim. Nobody knows. But a Muslim knows, and a Muslim, he will not do it. Because it is Allah who is watching me. You're not doing it for anybody else. So that principle, that training exercise that we are doing, we're not eating halal food in Ramadan despite having the option of doing it, was to put, suppress your nafs, your own desires, and to give preference to the commands of Allah. Because you wanted to do it. You, if you had the option, you'll say you'll drink it and you eat it, but you're suppressing your own egos and your own desires, and you say, no, my Allah is telling me I mustn't eat this, I mustn't drink this. That now is the objective of fasting, and it shouldn't be only for fasting. The exercise is to bring this spirit, this culture, this mindset, this objective into our lives, and it must permeate every other aspect of your life. Otherwise, you'll just be going through an exercise of not eating, but the objective is not being achieved. Now, this quality of why you are fasting must now also infiltrate in your business. Look at the link. You're fasting that exercise. So now, when you're signing a document, you want to do a business contract, your nafs is telling you, hey, this is a good deal I can do, and maybe somebody, some bribery will get involved, it doesn't matter. Now, the exercise of Ramadan, hey, what does Allah want me? My nafs wants me to do this deal, this backdoor deal, or buy the stolen product. But the training of Ramadan was, I can't do it because that is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when you're talking to your wife and the children, your nafs maybe you have the quality of anger in you, or your nafs is you are rude and you're vulgar and you use swearing words. Now you suppress your nafs because that was the exercise of Ramadan. How you must speak to people, interacting with your neighbors. So my point is, without going too much of the point, is that every aspect and dimension of your life must be impacted because of the objective and the lesson we got in Ramadan. Otherwise, you're going to fast the whole 30 days of Ramadan. Ramadan will be over. And you wouldn't have achieved the objective because you're still doing your dealings how you wanted, following our nafs and desires and breaking every command of Allah. You're still treating people how you were treating. So 30 days you went to exercise because you never achieved that objective. Now also, if you look at the Taraweeh Salah, we have made it too much of a ritual. It's just coming up, down, like, khalas, I did it. But now let's remind ourselves, I am coming for Taraweeh Salah. When I'm saying Allahu Akbar, I'm reading the whole Quran from the Alif of Surah Fatiha till the scene of An-Nas. Alhamdulillah, we see Khatam was very good, the Taraweeh is very good, where it's faster, what time they're finishing, this masjid finished 5 minutes earlier, I'd leave this masjid, let me go to that masjid, they're finishing quicker, they're reading quicker. And we are performing 40 extra sajdas every night. Taraweeh Salah, they said just now, it's only in Ramadan. So every rakat, you're reading 20 rakats, you're listening to the whole Quran being recited, mashallah. And you're going to sajda 40 extra every time, because 20 rakats, each rakat got 2 sajdas. So you're making 400, 800, 1,200 extra sajdas in a month of Ramadan. Why? What's the objective? Is there any spiritual difference? Is my thinking changed? See, that is up and down, and I read the whole Quran. The Quran must now permeate every aspect of my life. What is my Allah saying in Surah Fatiha and Surah Baqarah and the different parts of the Quran? The teachings have to infiltrate our lives. Yes, there is barakah. I'm not saying don't read the Quran and mashallah every letter, and you perform in Taraweeh Salah. How much of reward? Great, immense reward. Allah will forgive all your sins. But the Quran is a manual and a guide for our life. So this Ramadan, when you read Taraweeh, my connection, this is my kalam of Allah. My Allah is giving me a message. He is talking to me. Maybe during the day, let me try and go through some of the verses the Imam is going to be reading in Surah Baqarah. And let me understand one or two places. And if you do that every day, maybe at the end of Ramadan, you know 30 more ayahs, 30 more messages that Allah is sharing with me, that I can maybe put it into practice in my life. And every time when I'm going to sajda, you know, just up, down, never even read the tasbih correctly. That's why we need to support our imams and our huffaz that are reading. No, this is not a race to see who finishes quicker. This is an ibadah we are doing. And this is that we're going to sajda. أَقْرَبْ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ سَاجِدٌ. Imagine you're having opportunity of being with someone you love most, and you are dear to, and who's going to fulfill all your needs and help you through all your difficulties. Will you want more time or less time? You want more time. Now you want more time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whom we love the most, who has fulfilled all our needs. He's giving you 40 different opportunities, 40 more times in Ramadan, because the closest a person is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when he's in sajda. Now you're going to go in sajda, you never been put our nose down properly on the ground and say, Allah Akbar already. Now it's like you say, I want more time, man. Imagine you had with your wife, inshallah, we all want to spend more time with them. But imagine now, say, right now, cut, You go. You'll say, give me, I want to spend more time. I love my wife dearly. I want to spend more time with her. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us more opportunity. We say, so the mindset and the focus when we come on Monday, inshallah, for Taraweeh Salah. Let's change, right? We're listening to Kalamullah. There's a speech of my Allah, whom I love the most. He's giving me a message. During the day, I already read one or two ayahs. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِي هُدَلِّ لِلْمُتَّكِينَ. Now there's so many resources available. You can just go to, inshallah, you're not sure, find out from the reliable people what are some tafsirs I can read. Even just the translation. At least you got some message. Now I'm going there when the Imam reads the red part when he's going to read on Monday. وَيَخَذْنَا مِثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Or you're going to read some other parts. سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَا. Whichever one you chose, hey, this is what Allah is saying to me. And this is how, inshallah, I'm going to now bring it in my life, alive. Now when I'm going to sajda, aqrab, I'm going to meet my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and have a discussion and conversation with Him, an opportunity of meeting Him. We're going to read three tasbih, subhana rabbi al-a'la. And in each time you're going to say, subhana rabbi al-a'la. We are saying, glory to my Allah, who is the most high, who is the most lofty. I am nothing. My Allah, you are the most high. So, inshallah, we hope, I'm just going to go quickly through the balance of this hadith. Then it's also a month wherein you do one nafil action. One nafil action in Ramadan, you're going to get the reward equivalent to a fard any other month. If you do one fard in Ramadan, it's equivalent to 70 faraid out of the month of Ramadan. Investment opportunity, we all look for. What is the ROI? What is the return on my investment? This is Ramadan, and this is a time for us to capitalize and to make good deals, to get good contracts, good tenders with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then it's also a month of patience. We fasting, you see, hungry man, angry man. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says it's the month of patience. And what's the reward of patience? Jannah. Then he says, shahrul muwasat. It is a month of generosity. And a person who is more generous in Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his three benefits, I'm just going quickly through this hadith. Number one, Allah forgives your sins. Number two, it will be a means of you getting freedom from the fire of Jahannam. And number three, you gave somebody something to break his fastwood, you get the reward of his fasting without his reward decreasing in the least bit. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also spoke about the first 10 days of Ramadan. Awwaluhu rahma is the first days of mercy, the middle 10 days of maghfirah, and the last 10 days is emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. Then for the benefit of those who walk in, I'm just explaining one hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, narrated by Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, where he addressed this month and he called it Shahrun Azim Mubarak, a great Mubarak month. And all these reasons I'm giving now are an elaboration, substantiation and explanation from Rasulullah ﷺ about this particular month. So all these things have to fit in place. And then he spoke about lessening and easing the burden of our employees. He says that person who will lessen the burden of our employees, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also make it easy for him. So if we have people who are working for us, working hours, the type of work we are giving them, inshallah, by us making it easy for them, you are also going to get great amount of ajam. Before I conclude, this particular hadith, I will encourage you to read it yourself and go through the explanation. It's by Hazrat Shaykh Rahimahullah in Fazail Ramadan. It is written there, and make ta'lim and discuss it with our families. Before I conclude, there are a couple of points that I just wanted to also just bring to our notice. 2 minutes or 3 minutes, inshallah. Number one is have a Ramadan planner in place. Our day starts not at Sehri time. Tahajjud is an opportunity for us to get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at that time already, wake up slightly earlier than normal. Because it's a chance in Ramadan, you have to wake up for Sehri. So wake up 20 minutes, 15 minutes earlier and engage in tahajjud salah. And then after fajr, let's stay in the masjid and try and read our ishraq salah. You're getting the reward of hajj. 2 rakats of salah, 15 minutes after sunrise, you're getting the reward of an accepted hajj and umrah. After maghrib salah, or before maghrib, it's a moment of acceptance of dua. Now these are peak times, easy goals for us to do. Out of the month of Ramadan, we're not doing it. But in Ramadan, waking up for sehri, so tahajjud. Then after, before Maghrib, most of the time we focus on what's there on the dastarkhan, the samosas, and the bajjas, and the halim. That's the time when we need to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's moment of acceptance of dua. After Maghrib, we're rushing to go and chow again because it's Taraweeh. Now we know there's 6 rakats of Salatul Awwabin we'll read, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us the reward of 12 years of ibadah. Now what, how much more time is going to take us? These are things we need to make sure we get a point, make it a point of doing. Then also another good practice for us after Taraweeh Salah, I mentioned this previously, when we're going to sleep, make wudu and go to sleep. The benefits of it are so much. The Prophet mentioned one, the malaika appointed to make dua for this person. Oh Allah, forgive him. Oh Allah, have mercy for him. A person will get the reward as though he's engaged in ibadah the entire night. And also amongst the benefits are that the person's ruh is given permission to make sajda by the arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which is only granted to that person who is in a state of wudu. And if you die in that condition, you're dying in the state of wudu. So these are habits, inshallah, in the month of Ramadan. From tahajjud till we go back to sleep, have a plan in place. And obviously the month of Ramadan and Quran are strongly connected. Each one of us set goals, make it a point that this Ramadan, I'm going to attach myself more to the Quran. And let's try and be consistent. I mentioned this in the beginning. We don't want to see the masjid full in the beginning and the ending, and in between there's just a down, you know, the graph is like this. The graph should be consistent, showing that there's consistency. Habul amali lillahi adwa muha wa inqalla. Not the first day we come, we read so much, and the rest we neglected. It should be done in continuous, inshallah, for the entire month. And two or three points also to reflect on. The month of Ramadan is not adjusting our eating habits. Okay, now, you eat more actually sometimes in Ramadan because we shifted the time. We eat iftar and sehri so much that if it was out of Ramadan, we wouldn't have been eating so much. So keep in mind, it's actually also good, besides spiritual benefit of fasting, there are a lot of physical benefits for us in Ramadan and fasting. So keep in mind our eating habits also in Ramadan, and this is a good opportunity for us to also get some physical health back in place, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of practicing, and inshallah make this Ramadan the best Ramadan of our lives. Each Ramadan should be better than the previous ones, inshallah. And also not forgetting the month of Ramadan is lots of dua. Our brothers and sisters in different parts of the world who are going through difficulties, and the environments and the background again which they have to have experience Ramadan, and how we, how much of comforts we have. May Allah make it easy for them. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ